This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that we can be together as family, Lord, in this amazing atmosphere, Lord, of just enjoying you and enjoying one another. We thank you, Lord, that there with the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom. And Lord, it is just a privilege to know you. It's a privilege, Lord, to serve you. And it's a privilege, Lord, to journey with one another as well. And so thank you that we don't have to be alone this morning. We don't have to try and figure out life with you in isolation. We can grow together and we can journey together. And we thank you for that amazing privilege, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to share with you guys a few thoughts that I've been sharing with our pastors about 3 or 4 weeks or so ago. We came together as Shofar pastors. We have at this stage about 57 congregations and all of those pastors. We came together at the Two-Way School of Lodge just outside the tunnel as you go to Worcester. We came together there. We spent a couple of days together just worshiping, fellowshipping with one another, and just sharing around what is God saying to us as a church family. And so I want to share some of those thoughts with you. I believe it's important that you guys are also aware of what the Lord is saying to us as a bigger church family. Yesterday, we had all the different Shofar bands come together in Shofar Durbanville. It was incredible. It was like a mini convergence. It was amazing to have all the guys together, learn from one another, did some workshops, and it was amazing. You know, it's incredible to be part of a bigger church family. It's incredible to know that we're not alone. We don't have to make mistakes all by ourselves. We can learn from one another. We can be encouraged by one another. And I want to thank you guys, Shofar Summers of the West. And I want to, as I share these things with you, I also want to ask you, I believe that God is asking us as a local congregation even to just take a little bit of a shift in the spirit in terms of what God has called us to steward right now. As a local congregation as well. You know, the fact that Nikki and myself, that we have been asked to lead the Shofar Church family also has implications for us as a local congregation. And I thank you for your patience. I thank you guys for hanging in there whilst we were trying to get some assistance for us. And with Yaku that's coming, it's just been amazing. It's taken such a weight off my shoulders. And thank you all the small group facilitators, all our elders, everybody. It's been awesome. But I believe there's something in the spirit as well. And for the next little while, God is asking us as a local congregation, I believe, also to partner with him in stewarding a lot that God wants to birth in our Shofar Church family. So I just want to leave that with you, and I want to ask you guys to go and pray about what does it mean for you as an individual? What does that mean in terms of the way that you are praying? And just more than anything else, the way that you are pitching your faith. Right, because the beauty of us as a church family is we're not just individual church congregations. We're not independent from one another. We are interdependent. Right? And a lot that God does in the other Shofar church flows into us and vice versa. And so the reason why God has chosen to move the leadership of Shofar as a family to this congregation, I would like to ask you to also pray about that. What does that mean also for us as a local church spiritually? Okay, and so I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. So we came together as pastors, and whilst we were praising and we were just spending some time in the presence of the Lord, a word came that said that he is, God is taking the shofar. So we are called shofar, not shophar, not shofir, shofar, all right? It is sort of the name as... The spelling has changed over the years. Initially, we started off S-H-O-P-H-A-R, shofar, but it's S-H-O-F-I-R, shofar. And obviously, it comes from the Hebrew word. It refers to the ram's horn, so smaller ram's horn than this, or this little baby. And it means a whole lot of different things on different levels, but primarily, it speaks about a readiness to respond to the call of God. That when God speaks to us, when God calls our name, that we respond, and we also believe that God has called us to issue that call to those around us. So many of you guys who have done Foundation 3 in here, you will remember that during those weekends, we would then say to God, God, I want to put my hand up and say that cycles in my family's life stop with me. Do you guys remember that? Many of you guys have went through that. And in my family's life, there might have been businesses that went bankrupt. There might have been legacies of alcoholism. There might have been things cycles of divorce or of poverty. But I believe that God, you are wanting to break that cycle. And somewhere that cycle has to stop. Somewhere that cycle has to be broken and a new cycle of blessing has to start. And I'm putting up my hand. And that is part of this call that God issues to us, to say to us, I don't want you just to be a victim, I want you to be an overcomer. And blowing the shofar says, God, I receive that call. And I'm also going to issue that call to others. Not by walking around physically with a shofar and blowing that thing, but living prophetically, living in a way of obedience to God. And so you guys will also know that being in shofar isn't always comfortable. Right? It isn't always a place where everything works according to what your flesh would want, that you are challenged in many different ways. And that is because we believe God has called us to not settle, not to become comfortable in routines and in ruts and in things that would cause us not to grow. Because you don't grow within an environment of comfort. You grow when things are uncomfortable, when your flesh is challenged. And of course, we don't want to unnecessarily be discomfortable, uncomfortable. That's why we've got heaters here, got a beautiful venue, all of those things, all right? So we don't believe in flagellating yourself and punishing yourself and sleeping on a bed of thorns. No, we don't. But we do understand that if we are not challenged and if we do not challenge ourselves, our default is to stop growing, to become comfortable, right? And the shofar speaks about that prophetic urgency to be obedient to what God has called us to do. It speaks about celebration. That's why we believe in praise and worship. It's why we believe in ushering in the presence of God joyfully, coming into His presence with joy. It speaks about repentance. The call of the shofar has always been to call God's people to repentance. That's why we believe that we repent when God gives us the opportunity to do so. We turn back to Him. It speaks about prophetic anointing. The shofar was used to anoint God's people, and that's why we believe in anointing people. That's why we believe that when we look at one another, God wants to challenge us, not just to look at one another through the eyes of the natural, but also to see destiny and greatness upon one another, like Samuel did for David. Everybody else saw David, little shepherd boy, but through the eyes of the Spirit, Samuel was able to see the king. And that's one of the greatest callings God has given us. When we come together, we're not just a group of people, husbands and wives, and brothers and sisters and colleagues and a CEO here and a journalist there coming together. We come together as God's people with the ability to see something in one another and to call out that something. To say, I believe in you. I see something in you. I see something of greatness inside of you. And many of you guys, as you're sitting here, will think back to moments when somebody spoke a word over you, either at an encounter or in a church service, and you knew that something shifted inside of you. You knew that all of a sudden you began to look at yourself differently. And I believe that over the years, many of those sounds that we heard maybe got buried underneath busyness, maybe got buried underneath what Brian spoke about, where you sort of confronted with, hey, I thought I was going to play for the Proteas, not just play for the Proteas, but win the World Cup for the Proteas. And now I go to England and I get smashed. Where does it leave me? And many of us had dreams and words that God gave us, how we're going to change the communities and change the world. And now it's 10 years, 15 years, 20 years later, what happened? And we have to deal with that, don't we? We have to wrestle with that. And as a church family, we obviously went through a time as well where we were confronted with, God, this is where we thought we were going. Then some stuff happened, and now we had to re-evaluate, recalibrate ourselves. And many of you, as you're sitting in this room, you had to go through that process as well. Is this still the place I want to be a part of? And so we're in, as shofar pastors, we're together. And God says, I'm going to take the shofar, it's one of the words that came, and I'm dipping it in a container full of new oil. And so He's giving us a fresh anointing, the word says. He's giving us a fresh anointing. And the encouragement to us is to forget the things of the past and to reach out to the new that lies ahead of us. And during that time, so I asked the shofar, some of the pastors, some of our best shofar blowers to come and to blow the shofar. So we had a shofar there. And one guy came to blow it. Another guy came to blow it. And there was no sound that comes out. Now, that's a little bit unsettling. You know, I mean, we shofar after all, you know, and there's no sound coming out. And in that moment, we were challenged with, Number one, are we still blowing the shofar? Are we still living prophetically? Or have we just settled and are we just surviving? And number two, are we positioning ourselves in such a way that God's breath can flow through us? Because what happened, that shofar was actually a brand new shofar and it wasn't opened up yet. The little hole wasn't opened up properly. So you need that to be able to blow it. And for some of us, we have the shofar. You can be part of shofar, or you can have the thing that you need to blow, but it hasn't been opened up properly, or it got clogged up over the years. Amen? Stuff got in there that clogged it up. Like in your veins over the years, you can have a buildup of cholesterol that thickens the artery walls, and then the blood that used to flow through your veins easily now gets bottled up, and then you can get an embolism. What do you call the thing? Not an embolism. A what? A what? Embolism. What did I say? Aneurysma. You could get a stroke. You can get all sorts of things. Né? Yeah. As the blood circulum die aarde te vloei, right? If the blood struggles to flow through the veins, all sorts of things can happen. Blood clot and all of those things. All right. So not having your veins open for the blood to flow through you physically is a dangerous thing. And spiritually, it's the same. Now, if we're not in a place where our veins are open, the channels of life are open, it's not just a question of, I'm not going forward. It's actually dangerous for yourself spiritually. And I believe that God has been in the process of clearing up the veins, the arteries in our walls, in our hearts, opening it up so that life can flow through it again. And so when this word comes to us, one of our pastors, they slip away and they come back with this painting, which was wrapped up. And she said that they met a lady in Johannesburg last year who started working on this painting. And she finished with that painting a couple of weeks before the pastor's summit. Now, so this is the context. God says to us, he's giving us the same shofar, dipping the shofar in fresh oil. We have a shofar that we were used to trying to blow it, doesn't want to blow. She comes in, gives me this painting. We unveil the painting. And it's this beautiful painting of this stunning shofar with beautiful fresh oil just running through it. And that was so amazing that the timing of that was incredible, because nobody planned to have that shofar there that wasn't working. Nobody planned to have that word there that said that God is taking the same shofar, dipping it in oil. Nobody planned to have that painting there at that exact same moment. And that's amazing when the prophetic starts working. You know, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. You don't really understand how it works, but you know this is God. And that painting was done with this prophetic word as a backdrop that this person was praying over us, and that she was having in the back of her mind as she was painting this. And this is the prophetic word that came that I want to read for you. And I really just want you to receive this in your heart. And it says, I saw an attack of the enemy against the sound that would be released from this place. And so there was an attack, and that attack was aimed at the sound. The attack was aimed at the sound that would be released from this place. But that attack is broken, and it left because you prophesied. Just like Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones and they started living. Be encouraged to continue to prophesy. The Lord asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he released God's word into the atmosphere and prophesied to the breath. And then life came where there was no life. Right? And so part of what Brian was doing this morning was encouraging us to do what? To prophesy. Now, sometimes when we think of prophecy, we think prophecy is, thus saith the Lord. You go into a deep voice and, you know, you start getting all jittery and you get weird. But prophecy is supposed to be natural. What is prophecy? It's simply just revealing the heart of God. That's what prophecy is, revealing God's heart towards us. And so when Brian says, let's sing this song, his love endures forever, for many of us, we're in a situation, in a moment where we can feel God's love. And it is amazing, but for some of us, we are singing and declaring that song prophetically. Because you don't feel that God's love is amazing because of something that happened. You haven't been touched by God in a long time. You don't experience breakthrough. Things don't seem to be going according to plan. And then your challenge is God's love endearing towards me? And then you sing that song. And you can sing that song, or you can sing that song. You guys know the difference? You can sing it because it's up there and the band leader says, I must sing it. Or I can engage my faith and I can say, his love endures forever. That is blowing the shofar. that is blowing the shofar. You are releasing a sound of faith. And faith always manifests through our words. I believe and therefore I speak, Paul says. I believe, and so faith. The challenge for us is that with the attacks coming against us, and for us as the shofar family, we know what the challenge was in terms of our leadership and all of those things. But that attack comes on different levels. And the attack is simply aimed not so much on your finances, it's not aimed so much on your physical health, it's not aimed so much on your relationships at work. All of those things are just methods the enemy uses to try and get our voices to grow silent, to try to get us to stop agreeing with God. And you can be agreeing here in your head, but unless you release the sound, the shofar is blocked. There has to be a sound, saints. You have to be releasing, speaking. If Ezekiel didn't speak to the valley of dry bones, those dry bones would have remained dry bones. He could have believed in his heart, God can do this. Yes, God can fix dry bones. God can make dry bones to come alive. But unless Ezekiel prophesied, unless Ezekiel agreed with God, the dry bones would have been dry bones. And so that is our challenge as a faith community, again, I believe, to take up the mantle of the prophetic and to say to God, God, I am going to agree with you. And you know, and when we say the mantle of prophetic again, I'm not saying go and dress like John the Baptist, eat locusts, and but apparently it was a good protein high diet. So, you know, maybe some of you guys are there already. I don't know. But, you know, prophecy and living prophetically and sounding the shofar can happen anywhere, not just in an environment like this. This is simply the training ground. This is simply, there's faith in this room, there are like-minded people, and so it's so much easier. But you need to be able to prophesy as you drive to that board meeting. You need to be able to speak life as you go for that date with your wife and you know that you've messed up or your heart has been hardened. You need to be able to speak life. Amen? You have to be able to speak life and release life. You have to be able to sing or speak life when the report card comes back from school and says that your kid isn't doing too well. You have to release life. You have to speak life. And the devil comes and he brings all the pressure against us. Why? Why does he keep us so busy, as Hein said last week? Why does he keep us working overtime? And why does he keep us away from the word? Why? Because he's after the sound. It's after the sound of faith. Because it is only the sound of faith that can shift the atmosphere around us. Right? And so this word continues and says that, I also saw the man with a withered hand that stretched out his hand. You remember the story in scripture? This guy's hand was all withered and he couldn't use his hand. And then Jesus healed him on the Sabbath and they wanted to kill Jesus because he did that. It's crazy. When the world stretches out their hand and reveal their sickness, their shame, and their hurt, do what Jesus did. He healed with a word. To some, he said, be made whole, and they were made whole. Be encouraged to continue releasing words of restoration. And so Jan spoke about this world in which we are living, that it's a post-truth world. There's no such thing as absolute truth anymore. What works for you, works for you. What works for somebody else, works for somebody else. So I can decide what I believe. I can decide what I am, if I'm male or female, if I'm a combination of all of those. Australia is a big thing of kids now believing they are animals. And hey, what can you do about that? Because that is what they feel. So that's where the world goes towards. And it's going to get more and more like that. But as that increases, as that post-truth society increases, the shame and the hurt and the devastation increases. And God wants to bring those people into an atmosphere, not where we are just a social club, but where we are filled with. Because what's going to change all of that? It's not our programs. It is whether there's faith. It is whether there's faith. Do we believe in a God that can do impossible things? And can we look at somebody that might look like there is no hope for them and see a David, see an Esther, even though they don't look like it? And I believe that is what God is calling us back to again. Be encouraged to continue releasing words of restoration. And the word of restoration can be for the visitor at the visitor's table. It can be with somebody at the gate. It can be as you're putting in petrol somewhere else and you see someone. It can be around a braai. It can be on a hike. It can be on a run. Words of restoration. This will also, and this is the beautiful part for me, this will also not be a place where just one sound, pardon, where just one will be heard. It will be a place where many will have a voice. Listen to that again. This will also not be a place where just one will be heard. It will be a place where many have a voice. a sound will come forth from this place. Many will have a sound. Yes, all of you have a sound to be released where you move, also in the workplace, where you move, also in the music and arts. So when we were planted as a church family, there was one strong voice that came and gave a lot of direction. What God is saying to us now is He is positioning us in this season of our church family's life for all of us to release the sound that's inside of us. For all of us to take responsibility and ownership of, did God speak to me, and what am I doing with that sound? What am I doing with that word? Not what is Heinrich saying, where is Heinrich taking the church, what is the church office doing, or what is Ramaphosa doing, is what am I doing with the sound that God has given me? Because only you can release your sound. I don't have your voice, I've got my voice. I envy some of your beautiful singing voices, but I've got my voice. I've got to use my voice to release what God has placed inside of my heart, and you have to do the same. And so when I'm speaking to our pastors, I'm encouraging them along these lines. Guys, you have to find out from God. We can give the broad guidelines, but you have to find out from God, where does God want you to be? If you are in Timbuktu, you must know God has called you to Timbuktu. He's given you a word, and you are walking according to your faith. You can't walk according to my faith. You have to walk according to your faith, your sound. And I believe that God has placed faith inside of us, and He's placed the sound inside of us that I know many of you guys are releasing, but I want to encourage us to continue to grow in that. So Psalm 92 verse 10 is the promise. You have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox, and you have poured over me fresh oil. Take the fresh oil, the fresh touch, a reminder that we are anointed to go around and to do good and to deliver those who are oppressed by the enemy, to have our youth renewed like the eagles. And I believe this is the invitation that Father God is giving us, to have our youth renewed, to have our excitement over God's word renewed. And it's easy saying that when you're a student and you've just gotten saved. It's a little bit different when you have to revisit that 20 years later and you've been through the World Cups of being knocked out in the semi-final, of the run out, of the Duckworth Lewis system going wrong, all of those things. You've stood in faith and stuff happened that didn't quite turn out the way that you thought it would. Then it's more important than ever to have our youth renewed. More important than ever to bring our sound, our shofar. And your shofar might be your programming skills, might be your accounting skills, it might be your teaching skills, might be your hunting skills. It might be whatever skill that you have, your gift that God has given you. It is time to bring that gift and to ask God to dip it in the oil of His Spirit. Evian, God has got such a calling on your life. Yes, you, my brother. There's such a calling upon your life. There's such a Spirit of God inside of you, my brother. God has placed a fire inside of you that is continued to. It's going to continue to grow and grow stronger and stronger. And I just see you with just people around you coming to you for the warmth of your heart. You've got a warmer heart and a softer heart than you think. And as much as God has placed inside of you, and I'm excited over you and over what God is going to do through your life. There's something very special that God has placed inside of you. And ek net vir Daniel se mamma en papa, en ek wil net die Here sê vir julle dat daar's 'n wending om die draai. Dis asof julle om die draai kom en dat God het in store vir julle soos 'n silo vol graan. It is my provision for you for the next season of the ministry to which He has called you. Because you've seen a lot of provision, but I feel God is saying that there's much more provision because you are faithful and you have not taken any of the provision He's given you for yourself. And you've been faithful to give that to the poor and to those who need it. And God is saying that He's going to therefore entrust you with much more like He did for Joseph. And that die Here baie lief is vir julle en baie trots is op julle. And I just met you earlier, and I just felt God is saying you're a giant, not just in the natural, but in the spirit. And God has called you to be a safe place, and that your hand is going to use your hands to be just hands of safety for those around you. And God is saying that He's so proud of you, and that you're going to be in a place where many will look up to you. And I just saw you standing in front of the mirror, and God is saying that you is giant. He's giant, and he's strong. He's strong, man. And God hasn't forgotten about you. He knows everything that is given you, every promise that is made you. And he hasn't forgotten about any one of those promises. And I just saw them like folded up together, these little like love notes that Jesus has given you. And it is skunboxy. And that he says that he hasn't forgotten about any one of those. And that by God is weer so tiny, you speel met plak into your meer met plak in het weer met kijk. Because it's more than promises, it's his love notes to you that he has given you. Maar daar is 'n briefie wat jy ook voor moet skryf. Just a note that he needs and that he longs for. And I want to share a couple of quick thoughts with you around what blocks up the sound sometimes that prevents us from just releasing it. And the first verse I want to read is Proverbs 4 verse 23. And I want to share this with you, church, because I want you to stand in faith with me that God will just be releasing this as I'm preaching and going to the different churches. I'm preaching this word as well, and I'm sharing this with you because I want you to steward this with me. And Jan, ek voel nogal dat die Here vir jou sê dat sure brother, he's going to put you on the boat again. That's all I feel he's saying. He's going to put you on the boat again. I don't know if that means anything to you. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else. We tend to guard a whole lot of other things, and other things take priority in our lives. But ultimately, when God says, I'm giving you a new sound and renewing your youth and doing all of those things, I don't know about you, but often when God says, I'm doing a new thing, my mind sort of goes externals, right? So, you know, it's the new instruments, the new building, what is it? But what is clear from Scripture is that the heart is the priority for God. It's not the externals, it's the heart that's the priority for God. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The ESV says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And so, I believe that more than ever before, God is calling us to take ownership of our hearts. What is the state of your heart? What's the state of my heart? And he's calling us to make a shift away from an external focus to an internal focus. To start on the inside. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance. For from it flows the springs of life. So everything else that I do, if I want it to be life-giving, it comes from my heart. It's everything, every direction of my life. The fact that you guys are sitting here, you've made a choice to be here this morning, comes because there's something in your heart that wants to be connected to God and wants to be connected to His people. Every choice that you've ever made, whether for good or for bad, came from your heart. Even the reactions and the responses to what other people have done to you came from your heart. And we don't have control over the reactions and responses of others, but we do have control over what's going on in my heart. And the amazing thing is I can't control Maureen's heart. That's, if I try to do that, that's manipulation. And that's exploitation. I can only control what comes out of my heart. Guard your heart above all else. And here's the challenging bit, Matthew 15 verse 8, Jesus spoke about this, and the disciples were challenged by the Pharisees, and they came to him and challenged Jesus, and why are disciples eating with unclean hands? And so the Pharisees were all about the externals. How do things look on the inside? Why are they eating with unclean hands? And then Jesus goes on and he says to them, it's not about what's on the surface, guys. He says that you guys are so focused, so obsessed with what's going on the outside, and then he takes them back to honoring your father and your mother, and he says, you don't have a start with honoring your father and your mother, and you want to come and talk to my disciples about eating with unclean hands. You are obsessed with how things look. You're obsessed with the external things, and it's not about that. And there's a danger that happens when we are focused on the externals. And Jesus quotes from Isaiah, that Isaiah spoke to the people of God and says, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And so I just issued the challenge to all of us that it is possible to be in an environment like this, which we would say is very liberal, not liberal, but vernieuwer, whatever term you want to use. And it's possible to sing all of the songs that we sing and yet to have our hearts far from God. And that condition of the heart has got no respect for denomination. It's got no respect for the size of the band, the volume of the sound. It's got nothing to do with the state of my heart. You can be in an environment worshiping God without any music and truly authentically worshiping Him. You can be in an environment with a massive big band, the greatest songs, and have no heart connection there at all. And just have a lot of emotion. Conversely, you can be in a cappella band and have your heart far from God. And be in a big church with a big band and have your heart close to God. It is not about the size of the band, the size of the church. It is about the heart. And I found that often we blame the things on the surface for what's going on in my heart, whether I connect with God or not. And it's not. It's got nothing to do with those things. It is about my heart. So my heart's desire is never to be in a place where I honor God with my lips and I sing the songs, but my heart has drifted from Him. And the Holy Spirit is faithful and always brings us back to that place. Jesus goes on to say, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. So it's not about the stuff you put in your mouth. You know, I'm thankful for all the healthy recipes and stuff that we have. But guys, let's just make sure that we understand that it's not about the external things. It's out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person. So Jesus shifts the conversation away from the externals. And I believe God has been doing that for us, a church family as well. Shift the focus away from the externals. Shift the focus away from everybody needs to do something in the same way. Shift it away from that to what's going on in your heart. What's going on in your heart? And so I've been saying to my pastor, I want to say to you guys as well, we are not interested in conformity. That everybody must do everything the same way, pray in the same way, dance in the same way, say hallelujah and amen in the same way. It is dressed the same way. It's not about any of those externals. It's about what's in your heart. And so when we are trusting our God for breakthrough and revival in our nation, we're trusting God for peace in the Cape Flats. Thank God for the army that has moved in there. But it is about hearts changing. Because if one heart changes, it is one less evil thought. It is one less murder. It is one less adultery being committed. It is one less theft, one less false witness. 25 people murdered per weekend on the Cape Flats. Where does it come from? It comes from hearts that need to be changed. There are circumstances that are intense and that need to be addressed as well. But ultimately, it is the heart. So that's why we believe in the gospel, and that's why we believe in preaching the gospel, and that's why we believe in evangelizing and discipling, so that hearts can be changed. Amen? Hearts can be changed. And so I want to ask you guys to journey with us this beautiful psalm, Psalm 51 verse 16, if you can skip a few slides, Daniel. Where David is saying to God, God, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Again, it's not about the externals. It's not about how long we worship. It's not about how much, you know, I give to the church. Thank God for you guys that are giving in such an amazing way. But our entire society is geared towards creating a culture of performance. Perform, 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 and then God will love you more. People will be more accepted, or you'll be more accepted. It is not about that. It says, you do not delight in sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart of God. You will not despise. And my appeal to all of us is within this environment, even of our country in which we find ourselves, let's keep our hearts soft. Let's keep our hearts soft. It's a massive challenge. I listen to the conversations. I have to watch the conversation of my own heart very often. And here's the deal. We can have one conversation with our lips, but have another conversation going on in our hearts. What's that conversation going on in your heart? What's going there on the inside where nobody else can see it? Let's keep our hearts soft before God. Let's be quick to believe the best of people. I will always give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's have that as part of our culture. Let's be quick to believe the best of people. Let's be quick to forgive. Let's be quick to repent. Let's have a heart soft. It's always a good indication for me that my heart is hardened if it takes me a long time to forgive. If it takes me a long time to say those small words, short sentence, but so difficult, I am sorry. If it takes me a long time to say that I know my heart has drifted a little bit. But when your heart is soft, it's easier to believe the best of people, to say I'm sorry, and to forgive those around me. And so our journey, guys, is a journey of the heart. And I want to invite you to really ask these questions, questions that I'm asking myself often. Why do I do what I do right now? Just even being here in church. Why do I do what I do? Why am I in the town that I'm in? Why am I part of this church family? How do I view my brothers and my sisters? Who or what determines how I feel about myself? Where do I look when things do not turn out the way I expected or wanted? They seemingly easy questions, but if you really sit down and you think about each one of them, I suspect there's going to be some soul-searching. Why do I do what I do? You know, for some of us in our careers, it's an important question to ask. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this to survive? Am I doing this because it's just the thing that I'm gifted in? Or do I have a sense of calling in what I'm doing? Why do I do what I do? Why am I in this town? Why am I in Somerset West? Have the conversation with God. Why am I part of this church family? I hope that it's a conversation each one of us need to have. Because there are so many incredible other church families out there, isn't there? Amazing. But you are here. Why are you here? Because your why determines everything. The why determines everything. Why do we get married? We get married to reflect God's love to one another. We get married to reflect something of the mystery between the Trinity. That's why we get married. We don't get married primarily to be happy. If I get married to be happy, if that is my why, that will determine a whole lot of how I act within my marriage. So why am I married? Why am I in this church? If I'm in this church because of how good the church makes me feel or whatever, what will I do when that doesn't happen? You understand why the why is important? Have the conversation with God. Okay, but what I really want to get to is this prayer that I'm going to encourage all of us to pray together. And I'm going to put it up there. It's if you can go to the slide that says from the external structure to the heart, the sound of the harvest. God has been really moving us to a place of unity with one another. A couple of convergences ago, our theme was being one. I think some of you guys might remember that. It was in the most challenging time as a church family, God dropped this word into our hearts. And the prayer that Jesus prayed, that, Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. They would be one. And they would know that I'm in you and that they are in me. That's when we were almost like being scattered all across the place. I want you to be one. And we came through that. And then he started speaking to us about being known for our love for one another. And then I believe that our unity with one another, the fact that we can be different, hallelujah. Isn't it amazing to be different? It's amazing to be different. God has created us to be different, to be unique. Right? Each one of us spiritually has given us different spiritual gifts, different physical gifts. It's incredible. Why? Because we need each other. We need each other. You know, Andre shared with us earlier in the week about this beautiful principle. He says, the body of Christ is not just a couple of legs and a couple of ears and a couple of noses coming together. That's not a body. They're just a collection of limbs. That's not a body. A body is when those limbs start functioning together. That's a body. When the blood flows from the one to the other and the feet take the head where the head can't go by itself, then that's a body. And I believe that's a shift that God has encouraged us to make. To say, I'm not just going to be a collection of just coming together. I'm going to function together. And here's the thing. I'm poorer without the blood flowing through you. I'm poorer without the gift that's inside of you manifesting towards me. So if in a real sense, if I choose not to be whom God has called me to be, I'm robbing you of something Jesus wants to do through me to you. And I don't want to be a thief. I don't want to steal anything from anyone. So I want to be Heinrich. I want to be the one that God wants me to be. And I want to be it fully. And I'm still growing in that. So none of us are perfect. None of us are going to be the finished article ever. But it's an attitude of the heart to say, God, I want your life to flow through me. Our passion to be like Jesus and to be with Jesus will propel us to others. And so I believe God has brought unity into our midst. He's growing us in love. And now he's asking us again, all right, make your focus towards the outside. Think about those who don't know me yet. Pray for them. Love them. Hear the cry. You know, during August, I want to encourage you. We're going to have a board up here and we're going to spend time every Sunday praying for the sound of people crying out to Jesus. As you drive down the N2 or Victoria or up to Solaris Pass, wherever you're working, when you read the newspaper, bring a newspaper article, or if there's a sound that the Holy Spirit places in your heart, maybe it's the ladies on the street, maybe it's the drug addicts, maybe it's the CEOs who don't know they need Jesus. Whatever it is, bring those sounds so we can pray about it. Because you are most likely hearing sounds of people crying out for Jesus that I'm not hearing. Because God has sensitized your ears to a particular sound. And so we need you, saints, to bring your sound to the table. So here's a prayer. We're going to have communion soon. I'm going to invite us to go and take the communion. I want to encourage you. We have communion every Sunday. I want to encourage you not to just rush into it either. Right? The Bible says when we have communion, it's a good time to investigate our hearts and to think about, is there an offense in my heart towards somebody else in the body of Christ? And the Bible says I need to sort that out before I take communion. I need to think about the grace of God that is extended towards me. And so when we take communion, it really is an acknowledgement of, Jesus, your blood covers us. Your body was broken for us. But I want to have my heart soft and I want to have it clean. I don't want to have anything standing in my heart towards somebody else. And I came across this prayer and I shared it with our pastors. And it's a prayer really that investigates our hearts. It's a deliverance prayer. All right? And it comes from a little lady who really prayed this prayer every day called Mother Teresa. And she lived this prayer. She lived this prayer in such a powerful way. And Daniel, go, it's about slide 28. And it says, the heart of the matter. And I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to read through that. And then I'm going to pray it for us. And if you want to pray that with me, then you can pray it with me. I'm going to give you a few seconds just to read through that. And you don't have to pray after me if you didn't feel ready to pray that. It's an appeal to Jesus for deliverance. It says, amongst others there, from the desire of being esteemed, deliver me. Do you know what a powerful motivation it is to be seen by other people and to get other people's approval? Do you know how many people live in that box, whether it's on Facebook or on Strava or wherever else? Nothing wrong with those things. I'm starting running now again and going on to Strava. And at first I thought, hey, I'm not doing too bad. I'm getting back into the swing of things. My time is coming down nicely. I go into Strava and I see all my other friends and their pace is just way ahead of me. Oh no, yes, like it. I must get into this more. And if I'm not going to post my time on there unless it's a time that's competitive with somebody else's time, and then I can get a thumbs up. Am I the only one that... I'm the only one. All right. It's like last week, you know, Heinz asked, did anybody get hurt in church? I'm like the only one putting up my hand here. I'm like, you guys are amazing. You're like sorted out. It's like incredible. All right. I repent right before you. I repent. But the desire to be esteemed. In other words, I'm now no longer living for the audience of one. I'm living for the audience of many. And it's such a tyrannical cycle to be in. Now, Jesus, deliver me from that. So it's only your voice that matters. I'm just going to go through this, ask you to get to communion, then we're going to come back and we're going to pray. There's a word in there, calumniated. It means slandered. It means a slecht praat van jou, gossip. Before we just bring our hearts in worship before the Lord, I'm going to pray this prayer with us. And you can pray with me as the Holy Spirit leads you, Nevi, the conviction in your heart. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me. From the desire of being loved, deliver me. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me. From the desire of being honored, deliver me. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me. From the desire of being approved, deliver me. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me. From the fear of being calumniated, deliver me. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That, in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I unnoticed, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. Lord, as we pray this prayer to you, this prayer of deliverance, we thank you that you hear the cry of our hearts, Lord, to have nothing stand between us and you. Lord, we thank you that as we empty ourselves and as we break with the idols in our lives, Lord, to which we have looked for these things, that we get so much more in return. That there's nothing that can compare to hearing your voice saying, well done, good and faithful servant. That God, that when we choose to lift others up and to promote others and to encourage others, that you come and you encourage us, Lord, that you make room for our own giftings. I pray for those, Lord, in this room. I just feel that there are some of us and we have gifts in our hearts. We have things that in one stage operated and over the years they've just waned a little bit, and we are afraid that we will lose those gifts. We are afraid that the flame will be snuffed out. And I just sense that God is calling you into a place where you will see the gifts in those around you, encourage that, speak life over that. And as you do that, you will enter into a freedom where your own gift will just come to the full. You don't have to resurrect it. I just have this picture of this car crash. And there's this passenger next to the side of the road, and you're trying to resurrect that person. But that God is saying that he will be the breath that will just come into. It's as if you're seeing yourself next to the road in the car crash of your faith. You're trying to just resurrect yourself, but you can't get it going until Jesus just walks up to that patient, put his mouth over his mouth and just breathes breath into him. There's breath about to just, life-giving breath, about to enter faith here, hearts here, dreams here, visions here. I wish you could see what I see. This room is pregnant with, there's so much that God has created. I just in the Spirit just see these tongues of fire, just the sign of the seal of the Holy Spirit upon us. In his voice of approval, he's calling you. Just as we're in this attitude of worship, if you are here this morning and you have not had the ultimate heart transplant, you have not surrendered your life to Jesus yet. You have not surrendered your life to him yet. You have not acknowledged that you are a sinner, that you try to live your life your own way. you have not come to the maker of your life, the one that has created you, and you've not said, Jesus, here's my life, do with me as you please. Thank you for dying for me. You haven't done that, you haven't prayed that prayer, you haven't surrendered your life yet then. And we would love to pray that prayer with you, that all of us in this room, one stage or another, we pray. Just want to raise your hand if that is you. We want to give you an opportunity just to pray a prayer of surrender. It's not a prayer of religion. It's not a prayer of coming to church. Just saying, Jesus, I surrender my life to your love. Have your way with me. Is there anyone like that this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Then as we sing the song of surrender, I want to encourage you to take communion there with your heart. Thank God for the bread, his body that was broken for you. Thank him for the wine, his blood that was shed for you. Maybe if you need to come just as a sign to God and say to God, God, here's my heart. That you would respond in whatever way the Holy Spirit would lay on your heart. You can come to the front. We'd love to put my arms around you. Nikki, just pray with you. You want to take somebody else by the hand and just pray with me. I need to give God my heart. I know that the sound of my shofar has just been blocked. The sound of just living for him, of just declaring what he says, has been blocked. I want it opened again. And you would do that this morning. Coming back to the heart of worship.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.